Our New Testament reading today is taken from the book of Acts, reading from chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Let us listen for God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Today is the day we like to call Rally Day. It's a name we've been using for a long time to refer to the first Sunday after Labor Day, when we gather again from all our summer activities and begin the fall schedule at our church. In some churches, they have a name for every Sunday of the year. In those churches, today would be called the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It's not quite as catchy as Rally Day, but it indicates that in the church calendar, this is the Sunday that comes 16 weeks after Pentecost. In fact, in those churches that follow this way of naming the Sundays, fully half the church year is made up of Sundays that are identified as being after Pentecost. I don't usually keep track of how many Sundays have passed since Pentecost, but I do like the idea that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are very much living in the days after Pentecost. On Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, the church came to life. Pentecost was the birthday of the church. It was the creation of something entirely new. We are now living in this new reality that God brought into being on Pentecost. We are living after Pentecost. The days immediately following Pentecost were dramatic times. What took place in those days was nothing short of world-changing. The stories of what happened are laid out for us in the book of Acts. It's a thrilling and inspiring book. But perhaps we can also see it as a bit of a roadmap for the church as God continues to lead us forward. In the early experiences of the church in Acts, we might be able to learn some lessons that can guide us today, as the church once again faces a rapidly changing situation. On the day of Pentecost, the church went from a few dozen believers to a community of 3,000 people in the blink of an eye. This was a miracle of God. It was the dramatic work of the Holy Spirit. God was moving in unexpected ways to bring explosive growth to the church. All of a sudden, the church had all these new members that no one had anticipated. For the past few months at our church, we haven't quite had a repeat of the day of Pentecost, but we have had what for us is explosive growth. Already this year, we have baptized 12 new believers, and we're about to start a completely new baptismal class for even more people. Our Wednesday Bible study has become too large for the room we've been meeting in for the past 15 years, and we've had to relocate to the fellowship hall. This week, we're going to resume the Alpha program, and we've already had more than 24 people indicate their interest in helping. 2 weeks ago, in the middle of August, we had to bring up extra chairs to put at the back of the church because the pews were full. In all my time here, we have never had to do that for a regular Sunday morning service, and especially not in the month of August. When I came back from vacation, I realized there were at least 20 new people who had not been here when I left. To be honest, I've never seen anything quite like it. We've had some amazing things happen in our church in the past, such as the building project and the caregivers ministry. These came out of very careful planning processes where we looked at all the different aspects of what we could do and what we should do. What has happened over these past few months has been neither planned nor anticipated. It is clearly the work of God. God has gathered in those he has chosen. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on many people. It's been surprising and exciting and at times even confusing, just like the day of Pentecost. But here we are. God has blessed us tremendously in bringing us to this place. And now the question is, where do we go from here? What does God want us to do after Pentecost? The question really does need to be, what does God want us to do? We need to think about God's vision for our church. It is, after all, his church rather than our own. And in the end, God is going to have the final say on what happens to our church. We may try to design the church to our own liking. We may try to make the church look like something that appeals to us. But that's really not going to matter if God decides to come along and change everything. God is fully within his rights to do that. He's the one in charge. It's clear that God is already way ahead of us with his plans for our church. The Spirit has moved in ways that just a year ago we would never have imagined. The challenge we are going to have over the next little while is to try to catch up to what God is already doing. God is leading. It's up to us to follow. As we do that, it's going to be helpful for us to look at how the apostles responded when they suddenly had 3,000 new members in their fellowship. It's important to note that the apostles did not respond by saying, okay, we've got all these people in the church now, let's cap it right there. Let's tell people that we're full, that we don't have room for anyone else. It must have been tempting for the apostles to do that. It must have been tempting for them to put a lid on any further growth. But God wouldn't let them do that, even if they'd wanted to. The book of Acts says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This was God's vision for the church, a church in which there was no end to the new people being gathered in. The apostles responded to this amazing new reality by putting their emphasis on several important areas: teaching, fellowship, spiritual growth, mutual support, and worship. It was through these things that the chaotic mass of people who had suddenly turned up at Pentecost became the church. Acts tells us that these new believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There was so much for them to learn. Undoubtedly, they had already heard about Jesus, but they didn't know the whole story. They didn't know everything Jesus had taught through his 3 years of public ministry. They didn't know all the wondrous things Jesus had done. And they didn't know what it meant that he had died on the cross and had been raised from the dead. They needed instruction in all these things. And it was the apostles themselves who would teach them. The apostles who had been with Jesus day and night throughout his ministry, who had heard what he said and had seen what he had done, and who had seen with their own eyes that he had been raised from the dead. These new believers would learn about all these things from those who had witnessed them firsthand. At the moment in our own church, there is a great need for new believers to receive instruction. We're running the Alpha program, In Spectrum, we're doing a series we're calling An Introduction to Christianity. We have our Bible studies. We've already run 2 baptismal classes this year, and another one will begin shortly. There is a great need for people to learn, and a great thirst on their part to do so. And even as we teach new believers, we are aware that all of us need to learn more. Even those of us who have been in the church our whole lives. God always has something more to teach us, whether that's through the study of the Bible or through the transforming experience of this new reality he has placed us in. God's vision for the church is that it is a place where people learn more about him. In the days after Pentecost, the apostles understood that they had to do more than just tell people about Jesus. They also had to welcome them into the fellowship of believers. In other words, the church needed to be a community. The new believers needed to feel that they were joined together with other followers of Jesus. That must have been quite a challenge when all of a sudden there were 3,000 new members. We've only got a fraction of that here today, but we've still had to ask people to wear name tags. We're aware that it's not easy for people who don't know each other to make connections and feel that they are all part of the same church family. And yet we see in the book of Acts that fellowship was very important for the believers. We're told that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. In other words, they enjoyed one another's company. They were bound together as God's people, sharing in fellowship with one another. More than ever, things such as our rally day barbecue and our coffee hour and our potluck suppers are vitally important to us as a church. It's not just that we enjoy food, although clearly we do. It's that God's vision for the church is that it is a place where people are joined together in unity in his name. For this to happen in our church or any church, we need 2 things. We need the Holy Spirit to move among us, drawing us together despite our many differences. And we also need a willingness on our part to work at it. We need to be willing to make the effort to welcome newcomers into the fellowship, just as we were once welcomed by those who were here before us. The church is not an exclusive club that has limited membership. In God's vision for the church is a welcoming community that always manages to find room for one more. The book of Acts tells us that after Pentecost, the new believers were filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In other words, the church was a place in which people were very much aware of the power of God. Their spiritual lives reached new depths as they experienced the Holy Spirit's presence among them. They didn't just come to the church because the apostles were entertaining speakers or because they enjoyed socializing with other members. They came because within the community of faith, they were touched by God. This is important to think about for our own church. We're reminded that we're not here just because we like the food or we enjoy the music or we're happy to see our friends. We're here because God has brought us here. He has brought us here so that we can experience an encounter with him. He has brought us here so that we can be transformed by an experience of his presence. In God's vision for the church is a vital place of spiritual growth. One of the most moving parts of the description of the church in Acts is the way the Christians are described as supporting one another. We're told that the believers had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is a hard idea for people in North American culture to get our heads around. The idea of sharing absolutely everything doesn't fit very easily with the emphasis we like to place on independence. But it's clear in Acts that the first Christians are saying, we're all in this together. Where one is in need, the whole community helps out. In our own church, we've been called upon to help those in need, especially over the last while, those who are refugees. While we can't do everything, we do what we can, because this too is God's vision for the church. As the church in the book of Acts experienced what it meant to be gathered together as God's people, there was one thing that they found themselves doing quite spontaneously. They praised God. They devoted themselves to prayer and worship. In prayer and worship, they were thanking the God who had called them to himself. They were glorifying the God who had shown them his mercy and his love, and they were committing themselves to the God who had proved his commitment to them by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Prayer and worship continue to be essential to the life of the church. It's in prayer and worship that we are reminded that it's God who is at the center of our lives and at the center of our church. In prayer and worship, we align ourselves with our true north. We recognize that God is God and we are not. We acknowledge that he is our Lord and that we owe him our devotion, our commitment, and our service. In God's vision for the church is a place where God's name is forever praised. God's vision for the church is an inspiring and exciting vision. But it's also a vision that requires something of us. It requires us to let go of some of our own expectations for the church and accept a different way of looking at things. That doesn't come naturally for any of us. We prefer to hold on to what we are familiar with. But there are times when God calls us to move beyond what we are familiar with. There are times when God calls us into a new future designed according to his vision. This seems to be one of those times. We need God to help us with this. We are venturing into uncharted territory, and we cannot do that alone. In these days after Pentecost, we need the Holy Spirit to give us the strength, the guidance, the courage, and the enthusiasm to follow where God is leading. For that is God's vision for each and every one of us. Let us pray. O God, as we look to the future, it is a comfort to know that you are already there. Lead us as individuals and as a church into the future that you are preparing for us. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.